Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver Cup podcast. It's Kathy here again, but today I'm introducing you to this great podcast interview. I had the complete pleasure of interviewing Laureen Wazzaki. I think that's how you pronounce her name. She has been a caregiver for over a decade. She's a caregiver wife, a mom, and a professional opera singer. So she's a busy lady. But what I admire most about Laureen, and you're going to hear it, is how she takes on the caregiving challenges with this motivation and inspiration that she has learned over her decade of caregiving. I want you to pay attention to the words Laureen says, because she's giving us little golden nuggets to think about and use every day. She talks about the importance of self-love and taking care of yourself. She talks about the help that she has and how she embraces the help and how it was meant to be, and the relationship she has with the people helping take care of her husband, Kevin, who, by the way, she'll talk about Kevin being a dentist and how suddenly his disease evolved. And she also finds that support groups and counseling are things that make her a better caregiver. She is such a wonderful person who has figured out how to make the best of this challenging situation in her caregiver life. She truly is an empowerful caregiver and somebody that I strive to go ahead and continue to be. She gave me such complete inspiration and motivation. After I left the interview, I had this kick in my step. So I know you're going to enjoy today's episode. So without further ado, here is the episode with Laureen. I am so excited to go ahead and meet you finally, because we've had so many interactions on email, and I got to see some of your videos. But I think, Laureen, what I'd love to hear, and our Caregiver Cup podcasters would love to hear, is first of all your story, and then why you're doing this podcast and interview with me.
Okay. My husband and I are 61 years old. He is a retired dentist. Life was okay. We found out we were pregnant with our third child when we were 40. And the wheels started falling off shortly thereafter. His mother had a very serious heart attack, and she was in declining and serious health. And Kevin was her power of attorney, on top of being a dentist, on top of being Mr. Mom. When I was at work, I'm a professional opera singer. So, oh my gosh, the beginning of the road was probably the most stressful, because we didn't know exactly what was going on. And I'm going to just be straight out honest. My loving, beautiful, caring, awesome, intelligent husband got not one, but two DUIs. And what is a man leaving his 8-year-old son at home to go get beer? What is going on? Well, he was starting to have memory issues, and he was self-medicating. He knew there was something wrong. And, so that whole legal process and the gratitude of him not having hurt anyone, but also the embarrassment of being in the legal system and, you know, at the courthouse running into a lawyer who is a patient of his, and just, cars being impounded and all kinds of stressful insanity. After the second DUI, we agreed through the courts that my husband would seek medical treatment. And we went up to Mayo Clinic in June of 14. And Kevin went through, everything, a PET scan, a spinal tap, cognitive and behavioral testing, EKGs, hearing tests, everything. And sadly, what they discovered was he was diagnosed with young onset dementia, non-Alzheimer's, mixed. And I'm still trying to determine exactly what that means, but I do believe that there is a vascular component to his issue, and I do believe there was an alcohol contributed component. But here we are a decade later, and one doctor gave my husband 5 to 8 years, another gave him 5 to 15. Is my husband well? Not by any stretch of the imagination. He's bedbound. He's been nonverbal for several years. He aspirated on food in December of 21, and he almost died. Mm-hmm. Last year, our beloved caregiver took a month off, well-deserved. Again, my husband, he was emaciated and constipated and dehydrated and very near death. And the caregiver had been able to nurse him back to his status quo. It's been a gigantic roller coaster ride of horrendous hardships and beautiful God winks along the way. One thing I'm thinking of, so I'll just pop in there. We've had the same caregiver for closing in on 6 years now. And this gentleman, you know, a stranger came and sat at my table 6 years ago, and I'm signing our life away is the way it felt financially. And so, you know, filling out the forms. Okay, what's your birthday? And I state my husband's birthday. My husband and his caregiver share the same birthday.
Oh,
they were born 18 years apart and half a world apart, but they are soul brothers because this human being is just, they share everything. They're closer to each other than I am with my husband at this point. And I will be forever grateful that this man came into our lives. And there's a thing called Hilarity for Charity, which is a nonprofit organization that supports people that suffer from young onset dementia and other dementias. And they have a caregiver award. And for the first time this year, they gave out one non-professional caregiver award and one professional caregiver award. I filled out all kinds of essay questions. My husband's two siblings filled it out as well. And two of my seven siblings, so five of us, applied on Rolly's behalf. And he, of course, won. So he got a grant of $1,500 and a beautiful, beautiful statuette that's like multicolored and kind of in the shape of a heart. So it's such a juxtaposition of heartache and beautiful God winks along the way that make me know with no uncertainty that we are not alone on this journey. And if I could do anything to help people in the future that might be facing this dilemma of young onset or any form of dementia, it is my aim to try to help.
You have just talking to you, your heart is so, you fill my heart. You fill my heart with your positivity, your inspiration, Laureen. It just is unbelievable. You know, I'm sure there are tons of challenges that you face each and every day. Can you tell us about some of the ones that you face and how you maintain this positivity? I mean, first of all, everybody, you're listening to Laureen right now, and she has COVID. She's isolated in a room, probably not feeling well, and she still delivered such a beautiful, inspirational message to all of us in sharing this story. So how do you do it?
Let's take a quick break.
I wanted to take a quick second and tell you about a free resource that I created just for you. It's not your typical one-page sheet. I wanted much more for you. I've done workshops on these topics and wanted to give you a resource that you could use to journal where you are at, reflect on your stress, and figure out ways to shift and move into a better space. Caregiver stress is inevitable, and if you don't find ways to reduce and release your stress, you're going to burn out. The good news, though, my friend, is no matter where you are at in your overwhelm or your caregiving season, you can shift your stress. In this resource, I share my stress shift plan, say that twice, that changed my caregiver life and many of my caregiver clients. I also give you proven practices to reduce your stress. You're going to see 17 of them. So download this great resource by going to my website at kathylvan.com. And my name is Kathy with a C. So it's CathyLVan.com. My friend, make yourself a priority. Take this next step and work through your stress. When you do that, you can show up better for your loved one. So without further ado, let's go back to the show.
Thank you. Faith is a huge component, and yeah. We are blessed to have the help of an incredible caregiver. So I can spend time on myself because, December of 21 was the time that I came closest to tipping over the brink. December 12th, my husband choked and aspirated, and he kind of clung on to life. And our children came home for Christmas, two, I think, at the time. We're living in Europe, and they're just stressed from every angle, trying to be Mr. Mom and dad to my kids, and trying to advocate for Kevin, and trying to help my kids understand the situation, but also like so desperately needing more help and support from them than I felt like I was getting. So I would say December of 21 was the closest I ever came to teetering. And other than that, in the very beginning, my husband was a dentist. He was a jack of all trades. He was the smartest man in many rooms. And here's all of a sudden, I have to take over the homes, the cars, the business, the taxes, the powers of attorney, the children, the legal. I can't even describe how stressful it was. Something as simple as, you know, sump pump, ejector pump, backup battery. What are these things? What do they do? Who do I call? Just the, you know, sleepless nights of, we were always both kind of like do-it-yourselfers. And between the two of us, there's not many things we couldn't figure out. But in this last decade, I've been reminded so often how much I did really rely and lean on my husband. And now this last decade of taking over everything, financial mistakes and personal mistakes and all kinds of lessons along the way. But I feel so empowered by the fact that I am an incredibly different and much stronger person than I was a decade ago. And so even in misery, there can be wonderful things. And that's what keeps me positive. And that's what I cling to. Yeah. I'll give you one other example of a crazy
guy. No, good.
My husband has been in hospice for 7.5 years, October 1st of 17. It's supposed to be for the last 6 months of your life.
Yeah.
And on one hand, some people may think I'm taking advantage of the system, right? It's supposed to be for the last 6 months of your life. Well, my husband is terminally ill and he continues to degrade, and he luckily, I guess I should say, meets all the criterion for staying in hospice. One God wink happened many years ago. She's not even Kevin's nurse anymore, but we get supplies delivered, and it's always very kind of, impersonal isn't the right word, but they don't let you know your nurse's last name. It's just a name tag with first name. So I never knew her last name. I'm going along with life. I'm emptying out the bottom of a box of supplies, and I see a paper at the bottom, and it says Regina Janasek. That's my maiden name. It's not that common. What are the chances? Yes. So the caregiver sharing my husband's birthday, the nurse sharing my maiden name, just different signs along the way that, like, I just feel like I'm being slammed in the face by God, because sometimes I can be pretty dense.
Amazing.
But those are just like signs along the way that I'm on the right path and that we're doing the right thing. Is it the best circumstances in life? So absolutely not yet. We've got to do and deal with what we've been handled, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I have a couple of questions that I think that I want you to share with. If there's a caregiver that feels like, I don't know if I can do, I can ask for help, or I don't know how to ask for help. Can you tell us, we know in 2021, you came to that turning point. Who helped you find the help? And then how did you shift your mindset to say help is a good thing?
Okay, so the help came actually before 2021 because we've had Rolly since 18. And I just hired him because I have our youngest son was only in high school at that point. Our two daughters were living in Europe. It was spring break and life has to go on. Our last family vacation we took to Europe was in 17, and it was very obviously challenging for my husband. So I decided to take my son to Europe over spring break to visit his sisters. And through just another God wink, I'm a professional singer. I've taken lessons in the city and my voice teacher said, hey, I know of this one agency and they're great. So I contacted the agency. I live in the southwest suburbs of Chicago. This agency is northwest. I couldn't even put on a map exactly where they are. They're miles and miles away from us, but I called them and that's how we met up with Rolly, our beloved family member, caregiver.
One person. And it's like, usually caregivers go through multiple people until they find that person, that like factor.
I should back up. Okay. The first caregiver Kevin ever had was through a Boy Scout link. My son was a Boy Scout and there was a mom of someone else on the troop. And I hired, she taught English as a second language at a local college. And I hired a beautiful, lovely Hispanic woman who, you know, my husband's 6'1", but at that point he was walking and talking and just couldn't be left alone. And so she cared for him for a couple of years. Then again, we were so blessed. We won a grant from Hilarity for Charity. And for 2 years, they covered caregivers for me 25 hours a week so that I could continue working. Okay. But it was an absolute financial windfall of help. Yet it was through an agency and I didn't know who was coming. I didn't know when they were coming. I didn't know if they were coming. I didn't know what they were going to walk out with. Somewhere along the way, a beautiful diamond bracelet gift of my husband's disappeared. So I have been through the ringer with caregivers. And I am sort of more of a complacent personality than anything. And since we had the grant, I was so grateful. I was very hesitant to criticize or to request or to demand, you know, the caregiving I really would have wished I had. And so, again, I'm so grateful for the help, yet it was 2 years of trauma with all the shenanigans of the person showing up late so that I have to, like, speed into the city to get to work on time. And, you know, my husband's playing with his feet in the toilet while somebody's sitting at my table, you know, doing their homework or whatever. So I have been through the ringer and I did learn very valuable lessons on how to advocate. And we did have one or two bumps with Rolly in the beginning and we were able to, through awesome communication, you know, figure things out and be happily ever after.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the lessons learned. If you had, like, if somebody was looking for help right now, what are some of the advice? I heard grant. So I'm thinking financially, look for all the resources.
Amen. Now, yes.
What other, do you set expectations? Do you ask good questions? What do you do?
Yes, all of that. And the importance of being in a support group, the importance of having your own counseling. If I could look back at my journey, what I would criticize of myself is I would wish that I could have stood up for myself and my needs and my husband's needs a little bit more adamantly. But again, I was so grateful to receive the help that I, you know, didn't want to rock the boat. But you have got to speak for yourself. I'll give you one example of the one rocky thing I went through with Rolly. So this is, say, 5 Christmases ago. Maybe, you know, it was that same Christmas, 21, the one where my husband was so desperately clinging to life, the one that was so stressful. So he works for us 24/7. Holidays are double time. He has had less than 10% off in 6 years. Devoted, beautiful person. Rolly says, I have an elderly aunt, you know, heading back to the old country. This is the last time I'm going to see her. Can I go visit her on Christmas? Yes, of course. I love you. You have family. You have a life. Yes. But he went. And then he was gone for longer than I thought he was going to be gone. And he didn't respond to texts. And then I have my kids going, where's Rolly? And, you know, like my kids are kind of picking at me and I'm picking at myself going, oh my God, where is he? Blah, blah, blah. And it was so like trauma on top of trauma. He ended up coming in and apologizing, saying, you know, I was driving. I didn't want to text and drive. That's smart, mm-hmm. right? So did I want to confront him? No, but I had my then, you know, either high school or young college age son laying on the couch next to me. And so I sat down with Rolly at the table and I said, you know, I absolutely understand that you need your free time, but I was very concerned when you didn't respond to me. And from here on out, well, you let me know when you're going and when you're coming and where you are. And to this day, he has kept up better communication. And we kind of like nipped that issue in the bud. And in 6 years, only having one situation.
How blessed yeah. are we? Yeah. Setting expectations and being, I think what you have, from what I can just vision in just a short conversation, you have a good dose of being kind and respectful to the people and informing that family atmosphere as well as setting expectations. That's really a unique situation as well.
Yes. Yeah, so I did not want to have that talk, but then I was so proud of myself because it's like my son's not interacting, but I know he has ears and he's in the other room and he hears me. And what a great way to like solve an issue with communication. Nobody's screaming at each other. You know, I'm putting out what I need. And it was just win-win-win. Not always easy, especially for people that have more
gentler person. Yeah, they're afraid of confrontation as well.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're going to switch gears just a little bit. I want to talk about the life of Lorraine right now. You know, a day in the life. If you didn't have COVID right now and you had a normal everyday week, are you still working, Lorraine?
Yes, it is a seasonal job. I have been in the Lyric Opera Chorus for 36 years, and it's kind of more off than on. Especially post COVID. I'm supposed to be rehearsing tonight, but I'm here with COVID. So our season currently goes from like, say, August to April with some time off in the middle. So a day I wake up, I have a really kind of regimented like gratitude practice of prayers and reciting things like the Serenity Prayer. I'm Roman Catholic by faith. So Hail Mary and Our Father, the glory be. I have different apps. One is the Tapping Solution. And every morning there's a free little 2 or 3 minute little pick me up that I start my day with. I have devotionals. That is just a Catholic one that's a non-denominational Christian, and one that's a caregiver. And I actually share the devotional daily with two other widow friends who have lost their husbands to my husband's same illness. I have a pretty religious yoga practice, although I will guiltily admit that I've had the last week off. Yeah. I'm a very cerebral person, if you can tell. So the fact that there's a body attached is sometimes forgotten. And that could be really great. My intellect has gotten me this far, yet you can burn out. And just the sitting on a mat and moving your body and stretching and connecting the head to the rest of the body is basically life-saving to me. I'm an avid journaler. It started when my 30-year-old was a baby and you got like a calendar as a gift and you'd put a sticker on there, you know, first spit up, first food, first this. And then I started writing in the little squares and then I started writing a journal on each one of the kids. And at this point, it's morphed into just one journal where I verbally vomit everything, but it is.
You know, my dad did that. My dad has journaled. My dad passed away. He journaled for, you know, 40 years.
Yes. Oh, and are you the one who said he would do the time and the temperature too?
Yes.
Okay.
The time, the date, the time, the temperatures. Yes. Yep, everything.
Kindred spirit. somehow it's very cathartic to put your thoughts and your wishes and your worries out on paper. It kind of helps you organize and purge them. So that is huge. Those are some of my daily practices. I love gardening. I love house plants. I love nature. Yeah. I love decorating.
Okay.
So
what's your quality time look like with Kevin, your husband?
Ironically, it's awesome because like I said, I've never had to change a diaper. Thank you. Yet sometimes I almost have to like block it into my calendar because I am a working person. I am a mother. I am a homeowner, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, have to be so careful. I'm so glad that I haven't snuggled with him in the recent past because I never want to get him sick. But what I consider quality time is when he's in a special hospital bed because of bed sores that are luckily very beautifully managed at this point. But we crank that mattress up to accept the extra weight and we lower the mattress and I get in and I snuggle next to him. And just the fact of his beating heart and the body on body contact comforts me. And I have to believe it comforts him. And I'll share one other miracle that relates to a story I was telling about the Hilarity for Charity Award that Rolly just won. He had a little few minutes online on Valentine's Day. And it's when I was actually out of town visiting my grad school mentor in California, but Rolly was home with Kevin. There was a hospice massage lady visited him that day. Kevin had a day of miraculous lucidity. Really? His eyes were bright. He followed people. Rolly went to take a picture of him and he looked at the camera. Could he speak and jump and run? No, but I am not making it up. And again, I was half a country away. But the people that were in the home noticed it. It was remarkably noticeable. And, you know, and then Rolly admits to me, oh, I gave him tiramisu and New York cheesecake along with his insurer for breakfast. And I'm like, oh my God, no, is this a normal day's food? Not, but I do believe that we are all made up of energy, which is why I try so hard to keep mine positive. And how did Kevin know that it was a special day? You know, Valentine's on top of this special award day.
Yeah,
I don't know, but he was in on it with us. And again, I will be just forever grateful because that was a gigantic recent God wink.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh. And people can't hear it on the podcast or can't see it on the podcast, but definitely can hear your smiles. You just lit up like there was no tomorrow. So it just is amazing. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, Lorraine. When I started this podcast, I just wanted to go ahead and have a purpose like you do and being able to tell people that, yeah, it stinks, but there are always these little moments of joy, these small moments to embrace. And that's what that's why caregiving can be so hard, but it can be such a beautiful gift.
And
definitely. Now I'm going to end today with just a couple of I call them fire questions or, you know, just a fire question. What advice would you have for a new caregiver, Lorraine?
Really comfortable with accepting help. I'm a giver. I've been a giver. My husband was a giver. But it's a hurdle to jump, to learn how to ask for and accept help. But the more you, and I'm a kind of person, I think I'm more inward than outward usually. So, and especially when I'm hurting, I tend to circle in on myself. But anytime I was brave and I reached out in any way, I was so fortified by the connection that we can have with other humans, because it is scientifically proven. We're like pack animals. And especially during COVID, didn't we all realize how traumatizing it was to be isolated from each other? So don't be afraid to ask for and receive help and to build your community. You know, all the years I've been married, going on 33 years and being a career person and a mother, of course, you have to circle your wagons and prioritize your home and your kids and your job. And so on my totem pole of priorities, friends fell farther down. But then when I needed them, I'm like, hello, yelling into a vortex. And, you know, I realized you have to be a friend in order to have friends. So
you
know, encourage yourself to reach out, because I have, you know, new groups of friends now, and it is just hugely fortifying and fulfilling.
Yeah, that was my second question. So you already had ESP on this one, because, you know, how do we, because we shift and change, and then how do you go ahead and you are a new person when you become a caregiver. And so you go through loneliness and isolation and change. What, you know, what can you tell a new caregiver or even an existing caregiver when the roles are shifting? You know, how can we go ahead and accept it and embrace it? I don't know. That's a hard question. I've never asked that one before. So this is just the first thing that came out of my mouth.
Okay. I have another tidbit that, again, yeah. I'm an intelligent person, but this was counterintuitive to me. I'm hurting. My inclination is to circle into myself.
Yeah.
What is hugely helpful that I learned from another dear man who is in my caregiving support group, because his wife has young onset. When you are hurting, help someone else.
Ah.
So here's this guy. I don't know him from anywhere. This is a few years ago. I'm out gardening and he's like, hey, I have something for you. Can I stop by? And he delivers me a box of cookies. And that's how I met this guy. So then I am now his co-pilot. And when he drives all over the state of Illinois to deliver a box of cookies to other unfortunate souls who are caregivers to people with young onset dementia, it's like a team effort. We deliver the cookies, we visit with a person for an hour.
What a great idea. I mean, just think of what a box of cookies does to somebody. It's funny because I have a one caregiver client that went back to volunteering because she was finding herself just so depressed and so isolated, and your brain just starts focusing in on just that one thing, and your brain always wants to go into that poor me state versus you have to go ahead and, you know, look outward. I really just envy you. I think this is, you know, you are an inspiration for somebody that just keeps going. How many years have you been doing this now?
June will be a decade since diagnosis. The wheels started falling off 12 or more years ago.
12 years. Yes. And, you know, and what was your biggest, what did you see that you, how you changed along the way? I'll end with that one. Well, you know, what was Lorraine like back 12 years ago to what Lorraine is now? And why are you so proud of yourself? And I am proud of you myself. What makes
okay,
you?
Okay. So in all of my self-help studies, the whole world boils down to like two emotions. I shouldn't say the whole world, but the emotional world boils down to two things, love and or fear. And I, in the early walk, spent so much time living and loving out of a fear lens. And now I make a conscious effort to be positive, proactive, and to lead with love.
That is so beautiful. So beautifully said, because it's so hard to go ahead and lead with or love with fear. It is. It is a terrible space to be in. And that fear then is the fear for me behind the fear is anger and worry and resentment and guilt. Those are all bottled up. But when you make a conscious effort to go ahead and be in that positive space and loving yourself and loving everybody that's helping you, it just probably makes the world of a difference. I think we're a little bit alike. I'm not where I aspire to be you, but I think I'm halfway up the hill by you. Yes.
God bless. And so also, like, you know, for as horrendous as traumas could be and as terrible as the, you know, the totem pole, the worst end of the spectrum, don't we deserve that in extreme on the other end? And so being able to, you know, one time I just live in a suburb of a city, but I see two bunnies out in my backyard romping and like they're playing like hop leapfrog over each other. And it was just so ridiculous and delightful and childlike and joyful. Would I have noticed that a decade ago? I'm not sure. But in the life I lead now, it just brought me sheer joy to see such a silly little event occurring right in my backyard with two bunnies.
All that journaling and that gratitude, because you're you probably listened to my podcast about training your brain to go ahead and looking at it, and your brain can go so fast. It can easily go back so fast to the negative space and the hum and glum and sadness and all of that. But you have to have that intentional focus each and every day. And
yes, which brings me to one other idea. I'm sorry.
Keep going. But, yeah, keep going.
How you frame things in your mind and how you speak them out loud. We had a big scare yesterday. Rolly came up and he's like, oh, my throat, you know, can I have a COVID test? And I'm just like,
oh my goodness.
My biggest nightmare would be if Rolly got it, because we all know, you know, Kevin is so susceptible, my husband. And it could have taken me down this like roller coaster path to hell. But instead of saying, oh, please, God, no, and like taking it from a negative lens, you know, I wrote in my journal, I'm so grateful that Rolly and Kevin have been spared, like in present tense.
Yeah.
So how you speak to yourself in your own head and how you speak out loud and how you write, I truly believe it makes a difference.
It does. It does. You know, and even as hard as it is for us to hear the diagnosis of our loved ones, at least we were able to get it and start treating it as soon as we possibly can. It comes down to the silver lining in everything. You can choose to look at the glass half empty, or you can choose to look at the glass half full. Oh my gosh. I could talk to you forever. I could. This has been really great. And I just truly want to thank you. I will put your name out in the podcast notes. And are you on any social media sites or anything like that where people could follow you? I can cut this off.
As a caregiver, no, but I am on Facebook as a person. So, and I do belong to different caregiving and grief groups through Facebook.
So people could find
and I am willing, if somebody really needed support, that's what I'm here to do, I believe. Okay. So
what do you think? Wasn't Lorene a breath of fresh air? What was your favorite pieces of the interview? I'm going to share two of mine, and I want you to go ahead and tell me what yours is. Drop me a message on Kathy Lynn Van, or go ahead and share it on your social media site and tag me in on it. But here are my two pieces. When I asked her, my very first one was when I asked her about what quality time looked like with her spouse, Kevin. Oh my gosh, we were on a Zoom call together, so that's why you heard some of the echoing, but her face lit up with this big smile. And remember, she had COVID, so she wasn't feeling well. And her eyes teared up as she was explaining her getting into that hospital bed and snuggling with Kevin. Oh my gosh, my heart was just racing and bubbling at the same time. The second piece, and this was like one of the first things I wrote down, was at the very beginning, she talked about even in misery, there can be wonderful things. And I love the way she said it. That's what kept her positive. And she says, that's what keeps me positive, and that's what I cling on to. Oh my gosh, that was like a drop mic moment. And so I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And as always, my friend, you know, I look for episodes that are going to go ahead and provide you with resources, give you tips and ideas, share experiences and inspiration. And Lorene really did it for us today. So I hope this kind of gives you an extra boost in your step and gets you through the day with a different outlook on life. So until we meet next week, my friend, thank you again for listening to the Caregiver Cup podcast. Bye for now.